There is something about jazz that can teach us a biblical way to live together. A way that Paul possibly had in mind when he wrote to the Romans, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Even in Paul's day, the Christian church was kind of a tossed salad, especially in Rome, where so many cultures came together for political and commercial and cultural purposes in the capital city of the empire. The Roman church, as such, was made up of both Jews and of Gentiles from various backgrounds who came together in the church as brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes, though, there was friction between them. Imagine. The Jews rejected Jesus, said the Gentiles. The Gentiles are not part of Jesus' family tree, said the Jews. But Paul says, Jews and Gentiles are equally beloved by God because of Jesus. So don't get a big head by worrying about who is more beloved than who, but you focus on what you contribute to the well-being of the church. Now, I know jazz musicians never get big-headed. But if jazz had existed in the first century, Paul could have said, every member of the ensemble has an equally important part to play. The drums are not more important than the bass, and the piano is not more important than the vocals, and the sax is not more important than the guitar. In 2014, pop singer Meghan Trainor sang, "It's all about that bass, about that bass." Now, granted, she wasn't singing about bands, but in the jazz world, it's fair to say that it's not all about that bass. Sorry, George. Or the trumpet, or the sax. Actually, in the jazz world, it's all about the unity. My late brother had a 20-plus year career as a jazz bassist, and I was just a kid when he started out by playing Rush songs with his teenage buddies in our basement. And I remember hiding on the stairs to listen to them and thinking, the bass is so boring. Why would anyone want to play that? It's not exciting like the drums or like the guitar or the piano. Anyway, I'm picking on poor George this morning. As I got older, though, I came to learn just how much the bass actually contributes to the ensemble. The bass is rarely the star of the show, unless you're Jaco Pastorius or maybe nowadays Esperanza Spalding. But you could say that it's the heart of the group. It's the bridge that brings together the percussion and all of the other instruments. Even so, there's little that the bass can offer just on its own without the other instruments in the ensemble. A jazz group is made up of many very different voices. Nobody wants to listen to an ensemble that is made up of all one instrument, except maybe the bagpipes. Who doesn't love a really good Scottish pipe band, right? But in most bands, the drums don't sound like the piano, the bass doesn't sound like the trumpet. Each musician has a different role, a different sound, and sometimes even a different idea about where the music should go. And yet somehow, they make glorious music together. That feels like an important lesson for us right now, as we live in a world that feels so divided, as we live in a church that often feels divided, with so many people shouting that their way is the only way. But the person who sees the world differently from you may still be a part of the body of Christ. The person whose gift is different from yours may have something to offer that you desperately need. And perhaps that's where jazz gives us another lesson. In good jazz, every musician has to listen. The trumpet can't simply play whatever it wants. The drummer has to hear the bass. The pianist has to notice when the saxophone is taking the music somewhere unexpected. Sometimes you lead, sometimes you follow, sometimes you play, but sometimes the most important thing you can do is to be quiet and listen. That may be one of the great spiritual disciplines that we need in our world today, learning to listen to each other again, not listening merely to prepare our response, not listening with our eyes rolling in outrage, not listening so that we can find the flaw in someone else's argument and then beat them down, but listening with true humility and wonder, asking, what can I learn from this other person? What gift might they have that I do not? Where might the Spirit of Jesus be present and working in their life? We're frequently told nowadays that the people who think differently from us are a problem. We are made to feel like we need to choose sides, defend our position to the death, and surround ourselves with people who already agree with us. Paul's words to the Romans offer us another way. He says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." And then he speaks about how crucial it is that we do have differences, and that although we are many and we are very different, yet we are one body in Christ. Now, Paul doesn't imagine unity as everyone becoming the same. In fact, he celebrates here the unique spiritual gifts that God gives to each person, gifts of ministering, teaching, encouraging, and leading. Not everyone can prophesy. Even according to Paul, cheerfulness is its own special gift according to this passage, and one that, believe it or not every Christian has. These gifts are given not for selfish reasons, but for the sake of making the whole body, the whole community, better. That's what Paul means when he calls us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. We offer our whole selves, nothing more and nothing less, to our life in community. And that doesn't mean that we abandon our convictions. Paul never suggests that. It's only when we have clarity in our own convictions, know what we truly believe as Christians, that we can listen to others without feeling threatened or defensive. It's only when we're clear in our convictions about who Jesus Christ is, based on what we read in the scriptures, that we can bring our whole selves honestly into the conversation. And that's what Paul is asking here. He is asking the Romans to bring their whole selves, their gifts, their convictions, their passions and creativity, and be instruments of something bigger than themselves, without expecting others to be the same kind of instrument as them. Perhaps the church has a particular witness to offer the world at this moment. We don't have to pretend that our differences don't matter. They do. But we can demonstrate that the differences do not have to lead to division. We can disagree without despising one another. We can speak truth without losing love. We can make room for another person's voice without surrendering our own. And we can discover that when different gifts are offered in love, they can create something far more beautiful than any one person could create alone. And perhaps in a world that has forgotten how to listen, the church can become a different kind of ensemble, willing to listen, willing to use our different gifts for the common good. Because the point isn't for us to all play the same note. The point is to discover what music God can create when we all play our different notes together. Thanks be to God. Amen.